Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. My name is Mark Shiver, and if you heard yesterday's program, you know we got into some interesting issues about freedom of speech. Napier Fuller, resident of Wilmington, talking about, you know, sending emails that he admitted might be a little annoying to some folks on the faculty and elsewhere at UNC, and got arrested. And so you should go back and listen to that, because it's a very interesting podcast. When you boil it down, does freedom of speech get cut off at some point when people get annoyed? I mean, we all have a delete button on our computer. And if you're sending me annoying emails, you know, as long as they're not threatening my life or bodily harm, you know, as much as I might be annoyed or aggravated, I should just hit the delete button and move on. And yet, that was not the case with Mr. Fuller. People actually took out a cease and desist order, and he continued to email, and he got arrested. But how far does the First Amendment go? It's a fascinating topic, and he's a fascinating guest. So if you missed yesterday, go to freedomactionnetwork.com and check that out. And you can also find that in iTunes and Google Play. Today, we're going to talk about something completely different. Very interesting bills filed by Representative Sarah Stevens. She represents the good folks in Surrey and Wilkes County, and she's gotten herself involved in development issues. And as you may or may not know, cities and counties can charge developers what's called impact fees. And she has gotten involved with taking a look at this procedure and tried to come up with a solution to make things more equitable, because I bet you didn't know that not every city and county charges these fees, and not every city and county are allowed to charge them, but some are charging them anyway. And Orange County and Chatham County have been charging fees, very high fees, using the money to help build schools. And the Supreme Court of North Carolina has ruled in an interesting way in some of these cases about impact fees, saying that there's no implied authority given to a municipality or a county to do so, and that if developers want to, those that have been charged, they can sue to get their money back plus 6% interest. So, you know, it's really interesting. And it's interesting to me because I used to serve on the town of Knightdale's, they call it Land Use Review Board. Their board of adjustment merged with their planning board. And it was interesting to see these cases where even more than 10 years ago, developers were scrambling in this whole arena of development fees and why are you charging so much, and on and on and on. So not the typical topic that we get here on What Matters in North Carolina, but I think you'll find it very interesting. Representative Stevens is very interesting, and so I'm looking forward to sharing this conversation with you about something that does matter in North Carolina, because guess what? All of those fees get passed on to you and me when we buy houses, and, you know, isn't that the case? We always get to pay the final bill, we meaning taxpayers, so homeowners, home buyers, car buyers, food buyers. I haven't even ranted yet about my coffee costing me a penny more because of Wake County's wonderful mass transit plan. We'll get into that in the near future, and I promise you I will go off at length and you'll enjoy that. Anyway, without any further ado, thank you so much for listening to What Matters in North Carolina, and let's talk with Representative Sarah Stevens. It is a great pleasure to welcome back to What Matters in North Carolina Representative Sarah Stevens, representing the fine folks in District 90 in Surrey and Wilkes County. And Representative Stevens, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Seems like a long time ago. You were on in January, and yet time has really flown. The session is in full swing. And before I ask you about a couple of bills that you have filed and sponsored, what are your thoughts so far on the session? It seemed like it got off to kind of a slow start, but seems wide open to me right now.
It's picking up and it's doing well. It's still fewer bills than I remember being filed in the past, but maybe that's just my imagination. We seem to be on target to meet our April 27th crossover deadline, so I'm excited about that too.
Well, now, for I didn't mean to do this, but you mentioned it. For our listeners, crossover is really kind of simple. Can you explain that just so people that don't know what that means?
Sure. Bills have to be filed by a certain date.
Right.
And then both the House and the Senate have what we call crossover deadline. Let me pick the phone up because it seemed to be echoing back. Hold on. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, that better?
Yes.
Crossover deadline is the date at which a bill, in order to be considered for either this year or next, must go from one house to the other.
Okay.
So all the House bills that are going to be considered for the next 2 years, with a few exceptions, have to go to the Senate by April 27th. And then the ones from the Senate have to come to us by April 27th to continue to be considered.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty simple. So even though there are hundreds and hundreds of bills filed in both the House and the Senate, actually probably the great majority of them are not going to become law.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, thank you for that. Now, speaking of filing and getting bills heard, you have been fairly active in this legislative session. And before I move on, I got to ask you, how are you enjoying being the Speaker pro tem?
I'm starting to get my feet up under me and figure out what I need to do. So, and I'm getting a lot more included in the leadership areas, which is good. It's making us all a team, and a team certainly is going to be stronger than any individual.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot more teamwork.
Well, I know I congratulated you on that in January, and I'm sure you're doing a great job. Now, what's caught my eye, Representative Stevens, is a couple of bills that relate to development, and you have House Bill 436, Local Government Regulatory Fees, and also House Bill 406, which is Repeal Orange County Impact Fees. And I suppose, correct me if I'm wrong, but basically cities and counties are able to charge developers impact fees for new developments and such as that, and your bills would prohibit that practice. Have I said it correctly?
Sort of. These bills allow only certain select cities and counties to charge these fees.
Okay.
So House Bill 406 goes to an impact fee that only Orange and Chatham County have to build schools. No other counties or cities in the state have that authority to charge a fee to build a school.
Okay. So your bill would stop that practice?
I'm sorry?
Your bill would stop that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll get into some more detail, I guess, in a minute.
Okay.
436 goes to the various abilities that certain counties and cities have had to charge new construction a fee to maintain their water and sewer infrastructure.
Okay.
To what kind of impacts they have on that. But again, it's not all the counties. It's only these, our cities, it's only these few.
All right.
Now, one of the issues that came up is the cities and counties that didn't have this authority were just doing it anyway.
Okay.
And that went all the way to the North Carolina Supreme Court, who said, you don't have that authority, therefore you're going to have to go back. Builders, home builders, individuals, anybody who was charged this fee could sue that city, get their money back with 6% interest.
Wow.
For the last 10 years. That's what the Supreme Court said. So we got to looking at this, and it doesn't seem to be a very fair system. So we are actually looking at another piece of legislation that would give a grant of authority to everyone to charge a fee based on a specific formula that we haven't truly come up with yet, but give every city the ability to do it, not just the select few.
Okay, so let me see if I got it right. 436 then prohibits counties and cities from charging fees, only the ones that are doing it now, or all of them?
Well, it's right now it prohibits everyone. If you've got the bill, the first two sections say nobody can do it.
Okay.
The section 3 says these acts that did allow people to do it, these 19 different acts that allowed people to do it, are hereby repealed.
Okay.
And so that's where it was. Some were given the authority, but now we're saying nobody's given the authority.
But at the same time, you said you're going to file another bill, which will...
That would maybe be more equitable to let everyone charge it. This basic spat was between the cities, counties, and builders.
Okay.
And the reality is, though, the builders were right that these cities didn't have the authority to do it that we're charging them. But the reality is, whatever that fee is truly passed on to the next homeowner. It's included as a cost of building. So I'm concerned about the individuals who are truly getting hit with this. The other issue with particularly House Bill 406 in Orange County, they had the authority to do this for schools. And so they have been charging, saying that you have an impact on our schools when you build, therefore we're going to charge you a fee. The fee, one of the home builders brought it to me, so it's the easiest way to sort of explain it. They were building a new set of student apartments on a facility that had had an old set of student apartments.
Okay.
Okay. So are there really any new people that are going to be coming in to be impacted to cause you to have to pay this impact fee? And the cities weren't even considering that.
Yeah.
Then when they started to do this project and got in the planning preparation, they were told the impact fee for these apartments, again, where someplace had already been, again, apartments for student housing at UNC Chapel Hill, that aren't, most of them are not going to have little children that are there participating in that school system, and they're going to be short term. The project was going to have to pay impact fees for schools of $302,000.
Wow.
January 1st, they decided to raise their fee. The city council decided to raise their fee. And that very same project would have to pay $1.5 million in impact fees.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's called a gross overreach.
You think?
Yeah. So you know, it's truly a bad actor really abusing their authority. And he said, but that's not even up to the 35% we're allowed to charge. And I'm going, whoa, where did all this come from? I mean, you don't. Other counties have the same issue of dealing with school construction. Mm-hmm. And nobody else had this authority but Chapel Hill.
So now the League of Municipalities and the county commissioner folks are not really thrilled with this. They're saying that eliminating development fees could result in property tax hikes. I mean, for example, if I'm a developer and I come in and I'm building a new subdivision, somebody's got to pay for the curb and gutter and possibly additional traffic lanes and laying the infrastructure for the water and sewer. Who's going to pay for that now if the town, for example, is not allowed to charge the developer for those things?
Developers have always been paying for the curbing and the siding, and until they get their roads taken over as state roads, and they have to be up to a certain level, even to be taken into city roads. They have to already be in place, and they already have to be a certain level. They have the guttering requirements already. But the city is the one who's going to benefit from sending them water and sewer and charge those people the bills.
Right.
If the city wouldn't charge the impact fee if they were within the city limits.
Okay.
For most of the water sewer fees, they don't charge that. And they're charging this before they'll give you a permit to build.
Hmm. Wow.
Now, and I can understand some agreement if you want to be voluntarily annexed into the city. They say when we do that, we reach an agreement with the city that we'll pay to run the extra pipeline out here. But we're talking about in areas where it already exists, they're charging these impact fees.
Yeah. Well, I know that I served on the Board of Adjustment in Knightdale years ago, and this was an issue back in 2005, 2006, developers complaining about the town of Knightdale charging, you know, very high impact fees. In fact, I noticed that in House Bill 436, where you listed some of these municipalities that have this authority, Knightdale, where I live, is one of those that have been doing this. So the folks at the county commissioners say that they are, and I guess you've said this, you're working on another bill that would sort of streamline this whole process, give the authority to everybody. So do you think that what you will be able to come up with will be more equitable for everybody all around?
Sure. I do believe it will be, and we'll try to take care of the issue of bad actors, making sure that this is in some way tied to your region, your needs, and yet not go beyond that. In addition, on the Supreme Court case, what they were saying is these people were charging these kind of fees and not even keeping it set aside, not in fact using it for the purpose that they charged the fee.
Huh.
So that's a problem. But, you know, for me, it's a little hypocritical of the League of Municipalities and the County Commissioners Association to come and object because we're taking away a special authority granted to only one. If anything, they should be coming here and saying, why doesn't every county have it? Why haven't, you know, for the last 20 years, because
right.
I saw Knightdale had it since 1987, why haven't they been coming in sending for every city and town and county to have this authority?
Yeah. Oh, that's
instead of special grants.
So in terms of the progress of the bills, I believe that House Bill 406 has, where is it now? I think it was reported favorably out of state and local government and has now been referred to finance.
To finance, and it doesn't have to meet crossover. The one exception to crossover is bills that affect finance or appropriations.
That's right.
And so if you're setting a fee or if you're spending money in the bill, then you don't have to meet crossover. That's the one exception.
Okay. And your House Bill 436 was also reported favorably out of state and local government. So both of those, I guess, are kind of walking hand in hand through the committee process.
Sure. Sure. And the one other thing that I did that, again, have brought homeowners to the table, homeowners, home builders especially, they're the ones who sued and took the case to the Supreme Court. They now have this great judgment or order that says we can sue the cities and we can get back everything we've paid them plus 6% interest for the last 10 years. And so that's a pretty big, to me, windfall for the home builders.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee the home builders charge that to the people who bought the home. They're included as part of the cost, or they've deducted on their taxes, whatever has transpired. So I did a separate bill, and I believe it's 405. It's 405 or 407. It's right in the range with that. That says, to the extent the home builders make a claim to get the money back from the cities and counties, then they must try to find out whose property they put that money into and give it back to the homeowner, the person who bought it, the person who actually wound up eating the cost.
Wow, that would be nice.
that was just an interesting. So that has them all at the table working. I think the cities are willing to say only a 3-year statute of limitations, and I don't know if they're waiving interest or what's going on. I'm not as in-depth in the overall bill, the big bill, but these bills have at least kept them talking.
Now, I don't mean to sound stupid at all, but you don't strike me as someone who is, you know, a big developer. How did this stuff get on your radar?
Well, if you asked the News and Observer, they said I was a big developer, and I'm just trying to help out all the developers. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. You didn't see what I did to developers either, huh?
Yeah.
It was actually more an issue of problem resolving. I have a freshman here, freshman legislator, who is from Apex.
Uh-huh.
And she had been on city council. They were talking to her about how horrible this was and what could they do to fix it. So when she asked me that, I said, okay, and we started tackling into the problem. When we got down to the basics of what the problem was, I brought the groups together and said, what are we going to do? And there was a little stubbornness. So honestly, by filing these bills, it's got them talking.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yes, because my background, not just being an attorney, but I'm also a certified mediator. So trying to bring people together to find the things that will make them talk.
Well, I think that's always a good thing when people can sit down and try to work out these different kinds of challenges. I know that this has been one that, you know, if you have had any experience, you know, like I had years ago in local government, that it's hard to get everybody to the table, and the developers are pretty strong-willed and the cities are pretty strong-willed. So I think you deserve a tip of the hat for being able to get people to come to the table, and hopefully some good compromise will come out of this.
It's always about knowing where your power is and what you can do to get people together, to get them motivated to talk. And I think from listening to them all, even though I look like the bad guy and sound like the terrible person right now for how dare I devastate cities, you know, I've gotten them to the table and willing to talk about impact fees and how you charge them and the trouble you're in with the courts already. And then the home builders is you might can get some of this money back, but really, in reality, do you keep it or does it go to someone else? So, you know, at least I was in a position to be able to recognize those issues, bring up something that would bring them together.
Absolutely. And are you glad that it seems that we have, at least in the General Assembly now, as far as going back and forth with how to resolve a certain bill that had the number 2 in it. Are you glad that that is resolved and y'all can move on?
I am. And actually, it was a Senate bill. It was a House Bill 142 that I had already passed over to the Senate that had nothing to do with bathrooms, but it eventually became the bill that was there.
Yeah.
I think what we did was not making anybody happy. When you have the ACLU and the NC Family Values Coalition both opposing you, you've really reached a middle ground.
Well, that certainly seems to be the case. But I want to thank you, Representative Stevens, not only for being our guest, but you seem very passionate about trying to not only get stuff done, but get stuff done the right way down there. You have a great reputation from people I talk with at the General Assembly. So keep up the good work, and thank you for being our guest. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for including me.
Well, certainly interesting, isn't it? I think it is. Developers versus cities and counties, and homeowners being obviously the ultimate recipient of the bill, as it were, for impact fees. And if you look in the newspaper, you'll find that this is a topic, these bills, House Bill 406 and 436 that Representative Stevens has going through the House. And the League of Municipalities and the county commissioners are saying, you know, eliminating these fees is not the right answer. But to her credit, Representative Stevens is working with the stakeholders, as it were, the players, the impacted parties, developers, municipalities, and trying to come up with a really equitable solution. And that, my friend, is, I think, what a good member of the General Assembly will do. Not only attack a problem, but also let's come up with a good solution. So I applaud Representative Sarah Stevens. Thank her very much, as always, for being our guest here on What Matters in North Carolina. As you know, you can find us on Twitter at What Matters NC, and on Facebook, What Matters NC. And just want to take time to thank you for listening to the program. We had some good response. If you haven't listened to Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, he was on our Tuesday show. You can find that at freedomactionnetwork.com, also in the iTunes and Google Play stores. As always, Lieutenant Governor, very candid, and I think you'll enjoy his comments on the end result of what happened with House Bill 2 being replaced with House Bill 142, and how he, for one, didn't really appreciate our state subjecting itself, allowing itself to be a victim of extortion at the hands of corporate bullies such as the NCAA. So check out our interview with Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest if you have not done so already. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Mark Shiver, and can't wait to get together with you again on the next edition of What Matters in North Carolina.